welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Defeating Depression, How Food Affects Your Thoughts and Emotions. Globally speaking, depression affects about 350 million people and can cause a wide variety of serious health problems, including cancer. But the most disturbing aspect of this condition is the way that conventional medicine handles the situation. At a quick glance, talking about problems like what psychiatry does and prescribing medications may seem reasonable, but never address the underlying cause of depression. Bottom line, if you're suffering with anxiety, sleep disorders connected to emotional upset and obsessive thoughts, or any other mood swings that limit your ability to enjoy life, this show will provide real solutions you can use immediately in your life. Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, I'll introduce you to Joe Rushton, a two-time number one Amazon best-selling author, founder of the Energy Coaching Institute, and My Life Delicious. Joe speaks internationally on a wide variety of health topics and is a qualified celebrity chef focused on high-performance nutrition. A leading expert featured on both Healthy Me and For Me free-to-air television produced by Brand New Media in Australia, Joe also has a private practice working with individuals, families, and corporations, leading the way in preventative and corrective health, committed to empowering individuals to transform their way of thinking, improve personal health, achieve personal goals, and to make a difference in their daily life. But before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me from down under in Australia, Joe Rushton, to our show. Joe, welcome.
Jonathan, hello. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you, Joe. I don't know. It's kind of funny. I'm laughing at myself. I feel like I have to yell because you're so far away. But really, we're with each other together now for this show. It's great to have you. We've got a lot of important information to get out there. Please, let's start off the show by talking about how you feel that diet is affecting the way we think and feel. That's true, right?
You know, Jonathan, it really, really is. And I think that it's more often overlooked by people. We make food choices all the time. We tend to, in my opinion, people look at eating and thinking of it only as a way of fueling the body with energy rather than really considering how it impacts the rest of the body. And I know it's an old saying, we've heard it before, but we are what we eat, and there's so much profound truth there, and there's so much simplicity in that one statement that often people think, oh, it's too simple, it can't be that easy. But it really is. And one of the most important things, Jonathan, to remember is that our body is this amazing biological battery, and it offers feedback to you every single time you put something into your mouth. Your body will give you feedback as to exactly what it thought of your choice. And if people start to really tune in and understand how they can listen to that biological feedback that the body offers, then you can start making more conscious choices that are going to support the body. So in answer to your question, yes, food really, really can affect how you think, how you feel, and essentially your mood from moment to moment.
Joe, I think it's great already. What you're saying about the things that can actually happen to us when we eat poorly, you're talking about the signals. Before we talk about those symptoms that are related to the food choices that we make, I think it's really important to highlight what you just said, which is that we should be listening to those signals. I think too often, I'm sure down in Australia and all throughout the United States, I've been doing this for 30 years now, being in the health and fitness field, I hear this over and over again, that people give up their power meaning their intelligence. They think they're not smart enough to figure out anything about their own health and their own body, and they give it up, I mean, with all due respect, they give it up to a complete stranger. I mean, a doctor who might even mean well and really want to help that person, but they give up all of this intelligence that they have and hope that somebody else is going to figure out all their problems. You know what I mean?
Jonathan, I'm with you 100% there. You know, I say a couple of things to my clients when I'm working with them. And number one is, who has better authority over your body than you? Is there anyone else living in your body? Who has greater authority over how you are feeling and how you're responding to the environment around you and the things that you are choosing? And the second most important thing I say to my clients, because I'm always talking about improving the quality and the quantity, or thinking about the quality and the quantity of the foods that you eat. And often I'm getting, well, what's quick and convenient? What's easy and convenient and yet still healthy? And I say to them, you've got to stop thinking about food as this convenient channel. I said, how convenient is it when you end up sick, tired, depressed, and overweight? Is your food really that convenient then?
These are great points, Joe. Why don't we talk a little bit so it's crystal clear to the people listening? What are some of these typical symptoms that we need to be aware of that are related to food choices? And I'm guessing ahead of time, Joe, you're talking about some of these negative symptoms. Am I right? Or is there some positive to this as well?
As life is polarity, Jonathan, there is always both. We have the, you know, the positive, the negative. What I'd love to do, though, for our listeners is so that they have a little bit of a deeper understanding of how these symptoms experienced within the body-mind experience is to break them down into what often is typical of a physical experience, what might be associated as a mental experience and an emotional experience, because they're very different. And I think that, you know, we often kind of put all things into one bucket, and it's a really good way of people associating their food choices to how it can actually make them feel on a physical, mental, and emotional level. So if it's okay with you, I'll break them down in that way. So what we'll do is give a few of the positive as well as the negative, so people can have an understanding of what they should be looking for versus what a lot of people actually end up experiencing. So if we take a look at the physical responses, when we're eating a meal, the physical response is to, first of all, have an increase of energy. Okay, and that's probably the most obvious, and it's where most people go first of all, is to have an increase of physical energy. They also want to feel a sense of well-being. They want to feel satisfied with what they eat. So when people eat the wrong balance of food, they can often feel full but still hungry. And that's a very typical feedback mechanism from the body, just to let you know that your ratio of protein, fats, and carbohydrates just weren't quite right for you, because your body's saying, I'm still not quite satisfied even though I've eaten. So on a physical level, when we haven't made the right choices, you know, the common responses are feeling bloated, feeling fatigued. You can even have responses from food that come out in the body in the way of joint pain, muscular pain, headaches, rashes over the body. And obviously these are more extreme responses that might be from a food intolerance or an allergy. But the more basic foods that are giving a physical response that are unfavorable are the very typical bloating and fatigue. And that kind of sits in the physical zone, if you like. Then we move on to the mental. So how do we feel mentally when we've made the right choice? Well, we're more cognitively alert. We have clear thought. Our cognitive function and alertness is consistent and should be consistent for a good 3 to 4, even up to 5 hours after a meal that's been balanced. And when we don't have that positive feedback mentally from what we've eaten, we tend to experience impaired cognitive function, what I call brain fatigue, unable to think clearly, unable to keep a clear train of thought for any relatively decent period of time when you're looking to execute a task. And then if we look at the emotional side, which I'm sure really, because we're emotional beings and that's how we actually cognitively experience what we are experiencing mentally, we actually do so through the emotional body. And we use this word hangry, you know, when we've left it too long between meals, we become hangry. And what that really means is that the body's saying that you need to eat, you've left it too long, and what happens? We start to become a little irritable or angry. And there are emotionally a lot of emotional mood-regulating changes that can occur when you're not getting, A, the right balance of food. So believe it or not, food can actually, if it's the wrong choice and the wrong ratio for you, can actually lead you to feeling anxious, irritable, moody, with a short fuse, can even lead you into feeling depressed. And that's not the favorable response that we're looking for emotionally when we eat. We need to have, emotionally when we eat, we're looking for balanced emotions. We're looking for what we call a general sense of improved well-being. So I'm hoping that these sort of things, Jonathan, are making sense to the everyday person, because I know that they're certainly what my everyday clients experience. And I'm probably sure that your audience are connecting to these are very common everyday experiences, but people often don't think of them from a physical, mental, and emotional response.
Yeah, I think intellectually, Joe, it all makes sense, and a lot of people can understand it, but so easily when the moments come up, like we feel stressed out because of a situation, whether it's a person in front of us that is challenging us by something that they say or something that they did, something at work that's related to challenging us mentally or emotionally. Sometimes, or I should say many times, unfortunately, it is so easy to overlook the fact that maybe certain foods that you've been eating or certain beverages that you've been having are actually making it harder for you to handle stressful situations. And for me, when I hear you talk about being well-balanced, it means having the ability, having the energy physically and the mental and the emotional energy to be able to handle a lot of stressful things and to come out feeling okay. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You know, that's exactly what we're saying in terms of what we eat absolutely affects how we think, how we feel, and as you're talking about, how we interpret life's events, how we're able to manage life's events. So your relationship between what we fuel ourselves with and the mix, the food mix, which becomes the fuel mix, really does dictate our ability to manage our stress at a physical, mental, and emotional level. So yes, that is, and people forget, you know, if we're doing things optimally, then we're looking at, you know, eating at least 3 times a day. Some people more, to balance the blood sugar levels, which is something I'd love to talk about, because it's number one way of starting to regulate your mood throughout the day is to actually start to regulate your blood sugar levels. But how we interpret our stress and our environment around us can be greatly managed by a little bit more awareness and consciousness to the food and beverage intake on a moment-to-moment basis.
I hope people are listening very carefully, especially the ones that are looking to perform at a higher level athletically. Parents, if you want children to do this, it's so important that they eat and drink better so that they are mentally, physically, and emotionally feeling stronger to be able to handle the stresses, not only of school, but also of all the physical demands on them. People who are looking to succeed more in the business world want to be more mentally alert. All of this is extremely important. We're about to get into the specific foods that might cause some of these negative symptoms and what we can do about it. But before we get there, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Joe, let's get right into it. Talk a little bit now for a few minutes about some of the foods that might be causing some of these symptoms. We really need to be aware of this, right?
We do, Jonathan. And as I alluded to just before, you know, one of the most important things to start looking at are the sort of foods that dysregulate your blood sugar levels. Because as soon as your blood sugar levels are dysregulated, as soon as you have a drop in blood sugar, we have a rise in the what we call the stress response. So cortisol levels go up. And we have an increased stress. And as we all know, when we have an increased stress level, then the physical, mental, and emotional responses in the body become more unfavorable. So let's really look at the foods that dysregulate the blood sugar levels very quickly. And that's an excess of, as we know today, an excess of sugar and carbohydrates. Now, I don't like to label sugar as a bad thing. It would be very wrong to do so. It's about educating ourselves on sugar versus added sugar and processed sugar versus sugar that comes naturally within a natural food that comes along with all the other nutrients that the body needs in order to process and absorb and assimilate that sugar and make use of it properly. When we take in sugar in a very processed way, that's when the body does not respond favorably and we start to dysregulate our blood sugar levels. And when we do that, that stress response in the body is exactly what starts to create or increase feelings of anxiousness, irritableness, mood swings, a short fuse, and that word that I use, that hangry, because when we start on that roller coaster of low blood sugar and then as our blood sugar goes low, we search for, you know, energy to pick ourselves back up, and that's when most people go for something that's quick, something that's easy, something that I put into that convenience bracket, which invariably continues you on that roller coaster. The other thing that I try to use analogies with people that help them to remember. You're a biological battery. You have the ability to generate your own energy when you know where to plug in correctly. And so when you know what foods to eat that actually replenish your energy and keep you sustained and even with that energy for a good 4 to 5 hours, but when you allow yourself to consume things that dysregulate your blood sugar and drop your blood sugars low, whereby you're then searching for that energy, what happens is you actually go and buy it. You go and buy it through your coffee, and you go and buy it through your energy drinks and your V's and your Red Bulls. And this is literally the equivalent of going to a petrol station buying your fuel for the car. And your car's not a biological battery, but you are. You don't need to do this if we know how to make the right food choices that regenerates a natural energy system within you. So really start to think about the sort of foods, and it's the added sugars, it's the processed carbohydrates, it's the cereals, it's foods that are quick and not so convenient to the body. I'm hoping that this is starting to make sense to our audience, Jonathan.
Well, I think one of the more important things to also bring up at this point, Joe, is the idea that this is not just your own opinion. This is not just the two of us saying, hey, people ought to think about this, or it's any new concept. A lot of people who listen to the show, they already get it. But somebody who's new to this needs to appreciate that there is a tremendous amount of science backing up what you're talking about. What would you like people to know, Joe?
You know, what I'd love them to know is that one of the fastest and quickest ways that they can start to regulate their mood, regulate their energy, and balance their bodies is by really starting to take a look at what is the intake of good quality protein and fat, because that is often overlooked when it comes to a meal. When we look at all these fast foods and these convenient foods, and I bring it back to looking at how you start your day, because you are breaking your fast when you have your first meal. And so what you choose as your first meal of the day sets up your regulation of your blood sugar levels. And if you're choosing processed carbohydrates in the form of cereals and toast and muffins and bagels and foods that have become considered in some, you know, in some forums as being healthy, but honestly, the research out there now, there is a plethora of research to show us that it is actually the carbohydrates and the added sugars and the excess amount that we're eating of these types of foods that are at the root cause of inflammation in the body, at the root cause of depression, are the triggerings of, even if we're talking about mental health, Alzheimer's, dementia, not to mention the obvious diabetes and obesity. So what I'm really wanting people to know is that they can make some really simple changes and let it start at breakfast. Get the biggest bang for your buck. Have a look at what and how you are starting your breakfast. Start to increase the amount of good quality clean fat in amongst some good whole carbohydrates. Carbohydrates in nature, when we went back to hunter and gatherer, we got them through vegetables and fruits, not through these highly processed and extruded grains of today. And if you want to really see the research, then just go to places like westernaprice.org or have a look at the latest research that's just come out here at Deakin University in Melbourne, September last year. Associate Professor Felice Jacka, She came out with a paper that's the first ever done on the research of the hippocampus and how that part of the brain that's associated with learning, memory, and good mental health is actually reduced in size in people with unhealthy diets. And the unhealthy diets we're talking about are all the foods that we've just mentioned. Those high sugars, high processed foods, the foods that people rely on day to day. So other places to go for your research, we haven't even touched on things like gluten and the effects of gluten has now globally on the body. But follow the likes of Dr. Tom O'Brien. Have a look at the plethora of double-blinded studies. We're talking about evidence-based research that is really starting to be the groundbreaking place that people need to educate themselves, because the old paradigm of thinking that fats are the villain, that's been and gone, guys. That's history. That's obsolete these days. Let's start getting back on track with knowing what we need to choose. And it's not difficult. Mother Nature did not make it difficult for us. We stick to good quality protein, fats, and carbohydrates, come away from the processed foods, go back to what we simply call real food, things that, you know, don't come in a packet. I say to my clients, Jonathan, if there's one thing that everyone out there today can do for themselves, if they shop at a local supermarket, do anything different, go to your local supermarket, but start shopping on the perimeters. Do not venture down the middle aisles. If you start only to challenge yourself to shop on the perimeters, already you will improve the quality of the product you buy, which will improve the quality of your physical, mental, and emotional experience.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market, for making this show possible. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Joe, before we leave for a few minutes, we want to talk about this incredible summit. I cannot give it enough praise. I know how much effort it takes to put out a summit like this so people can get this information in detail, exactly what to do to get out of depression, to really minimize their threats of anxiety, really taking over their life so that they can feel so much better, have the energy to do what they want. Your summit really provides the tools. I know a lot of the speakers that are on the summit personally. They are terrific people. I want people to get that information. You're going to hear about it. But before we get there, I just want to have you talk about just a little bit maybe about the simple ways that we could balance our mood with food. Can you give us an example, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jonathan. So let's go back to the most important meal of the day, the breaking of the fast. And consider having some eggs and some steamed vegetables. It's a radical idea, I know, for most people who rely on the, if you're in here, if you're down under, it's the toast and the Vegemite. If you're in America, it's perhaps the cream cheese bagel. But consider things to be slightly different. And consider this. Every single meal you have is an opportunity to fuel the body. It should not make a difference whether or not it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you can shift your mindset away from breakfast needing to look like a certain way or needing to have to comprise of some sort of cereal or some sort of carbohydrate, and consider breakfast to be nothing more than another opportunity to fuel and balance the body, then you will start to make a choice, scrambled eggs or poached eggs or maybe some slow-cooked, what have I woken up to this morning, my breakfast, some beautiful slow-cooked chicken thigh with some lovely steamed vegetables. And I'm balanced. I've got the fuel to see me through to the next meal. I'm mentally alert. My cognitive function is optimal. And it really shifts your perspective on how you then interpret life's events moment to moment. So start with breakfast, guys. Think, increase your protein, good quality fat, and mix it with a quality carbohydrate that's not processed. Try to come away from excessive amounts of grain. Think more vegetables, think more fresh salads and fruits, and you'll be 1,000 times ahead of the average person.
And again, for those people who are more plant-based, look, the bottom line is the same. You're not supposed to have apples and bananas and oranges all day long and be a fruitarian. I personally have spoken to many fruitarians that may have been a great move for them for a short period of time because they came away from a lot of conventional meat eating. We all get it. There's a lot of toxins associated with fast food or conventionally raised meats, which are just horrific. You become a fruitarian, organic fruits, and you feel fabulous a year, two, 3 years, whatever it may be for the individual. But then there has to be the balance that you're talking about, Joe. I start off personally in the morning with liquids that are like green drinks with, I have all kinds of herbs, medicinal mushrooms, grasses. All of this is in my drinks in the morning, balancing it out. If you want hemp seeds, make sure you have spirulina, which is rich in protein, chia seeds, nuts and seeds in general. You've got fats there. You've got coconut oil. You've got coconut products. You have all of this, avocados, fats, proteins, and the carbs that are clean, like you say, that are whole foods. This is what it's about. I have even had a great personal experience spiritually, mentally, and emotionally by having brown rice, which, yes, in some people's circles, that's high sugar. Oh, my God. But like you said, Joe, it has lots of fiber connected to it. It actually has some fat in brown rice. So it's not an overly processed carbohydrate, but it's chewing that whole brown rice grain 100 times, which I've had the experience of having. You talk about balance. You talk about feeling relaxed and at peace with yourself. Somebody who is suffering with anxiety or depression, you go to a 3-day conference where there's chewing of brown rice and having miso, fermented foods, and vegetables. I'm telling you right now, that person's mental and emotional state is going to be so different. Joe, we're running out of time. I want everyone to know that if they go to Natural Health 365, the podcast, you go to this podcast page, you're going to see a beautiful banner, which is going to take people right to your summit just for a minute or so. Talk about the effort that it took to put on the summit that you have. Please talk about the name of the summit and just everything about it. Give us a little behind the scenes, you know?
Well, Jonathan, it's certainly been an experience that's increased my awareness of what real anxiety can feel like. Which was a very interesting experience given that the summit is on overcoming depression and anxiety. It's been an amazing experience. It's a good 6 months that it took us to pull this project together. We have over 53 of the most brightest and most brilliant minds internationally across the globe. Talking about overcoming depression and anxiety through the lenses of 7 pillars of health, which cover anything from movement to mindfulness to nutrition to hydration to states of relatedness to your spiritual practice. We cover an amazing amount of material. It's about honoring both the Western and Eastern philosophies, taking the very best of Western medicine and matching it with the very best of Eastern philosophies, and really understanding that an individual is exactly that. They're an individual. One man's food is another man's poison. Understanding what can work for you is what is the most important thing. Understanding that you need to treat yourself as an individual, and what therapy might work for one person isn't necessarily going to work for you. So what we have done in this summit is gather so much information so that anybody suffering from depression and anxiety is going to find a tool, a solution, a method out of all of the 53 experts that we have presented. You are going to find something that works for you, that is going to shift you to your next level of awareness so that you can continue on your path of healing. And one of the key things that we wanted to do in this summit was match it with interviews with people that have had personal experiences, personal stories, beaten the odds, overcome the adversity in their lives. And that, with the feedback that we're getting from people that are tuning in worldwide, you know, so far over 20,000 people and still growing are tuning in, and they are saying that the personal stories are making such a difference that it's giving them inspiration and hope. And that's exactly what we wanted to do, mix the expert advice with people who have lived the experience. And we're reaching an amazing amount of people, Jonathan, and I couldn't be more thankful and so grateful for the people that have poured their energy and effort, their wisdom, their expertise together to make this available to people around the globe.
Obviously, my greatest concern is if you're listening to this program and you have any kind of depression or anxiety issues, you feel like something is getting in your way that way mentally or emotionally for you getting the most out of your life, please dedicate your time right now to go and get more information about the summit. Like I said, the banner is right there. Click it. Go right to the summit page to register. I can't think of something that's more important. Joe, I feel like it's such an honor to have you on this show. I feel privileged to have the ability to get this out to so many people in our audience. And I would just challenge everyone, especially our healthcare providers, please grab this and give it out to your patients, the people that you know as well, anyone you know that's suffering. My point is, there's no reason for this to go on anymore if you just take action. And that's why I'm so pleased that you spent some time with us. Joe, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Jonathan, thank you. I'm so very grateful for the opportunity. Love the work that you do. And it's people like you that help us and support us to get the work out there. And I just want to say a very, very big thank you. And thank you to your community.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.